Oh, it was a flat out dump. It was one of the dumpiest dumps I've seen in a while. Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 25 of the Left is Right podcast. Here are your normal hosts, myself, Matt, and I got Adam and Brent with me. How are you guys today?
Good evening. Excellent.
Very well. Very awesome. Well. Drinking the Labatt blue lights tonight.
Labatt. Drinking Labatt's. Yeah.
Labatt.
Labatt. Union beer. We just figured that out. So look at you both drinking your beers.
Yep.
Anyway, and we have a special members today, one returning guest and one new guest. You all know Sean. Sean, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Oh, I'm glad to hear your voice, buddy. And a new guest who we've actually mentioned, so you guys probably, listening audience probably already knows who it is. Travis, welcome to the podcast, sir.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for letting me come here.
You're very welcome. And thanks for coming on, buddy. And if you've listened, you've probably heard your name once or twice before. So,
Travis got some honorable mentions during the episode about the Stage 2 lemonade break at Michigan International Speedway, where he basically watched after my child for probably the better part of 45 minutes while I stood in line for a $7 lemonade.
We had a good time.
Zoe was really enjoying herself that day.
She had a great time.
We learned that the birds will come and clean up all the popcorn that you spill on the ground, because birds will eat anything.
Yeah, she spilled a whole bunch of popcorn that day. Anyways,
so this was post lemonade that time, or
you were in the stands?
Yep. Yeah, lemonade and popcorn for Zoe. That was the highlight of her day.
Yep. So, and then in the car, she said she wanted to come back, but she told you what, right?
So. Yeah, we get home. You know, we get home from like probably like the worst day of our life, and my wife asks her, "How was it?" She goes, "It was good." I'm like, she's lying to you. She's completely lying to you. Kids are great.
So welcome, and we have a special episode today. And so we are prepping for our trip to Bristol, Tennessee. So this Much motley excited. Crew is going to take the 12-hour drive from Michigan.
It's nine.
It's only 10. It's only 10. We're good.
Oh, it's only 10?
Yeah.
We're mint. Like a trip to Jersey, except a lot more fun.
I'm gonna look right now because I don't believe either of you.
I pulled up a hair over nine. A hair over nine if you never stopped, but figure 10 with fuel stops.
A 2.7 doesn't get enough EcoBoost to get us down there? We're gonna need more EcoBoost.
Trav, are you a straight through guy, straight through driver, or do you gotta stop all the time?
Well, we got Brent's little tank, so we'll be good.
This says 8 hours and 30 minutes.
Yep.
Where'd you get 10 from?
Well, I was figuring, you know, got to add an hour for fuel and pee and lunch. And
9:15 from Woodside Street in Dearborn. Yep.
That's what I'm coming up with.
I was figuring out 10.
Yeah, it'll be 14 if the truck catches on fire like it did last time we drove that direction.
Well, so that's what I was going to say. Chances of you guys having transmission failure like we did with the excursion, probably not as likely, but you are probably going to run through the same hills there in West Virginia.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think we're going to quite go that far east. Because last time we went down, we left out of Pittsburgh. I will say that my truck does need a torque converter seal.
Famous last words.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
But transload's not that flammable, so we'll be fine.
I totally agree with that statement, but it's not that flammable means it is.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's been seeping out the vent hole on the bottom of the bell housing for the past couple months, and I've towed with it a couple times since then. It sounds like that is not that uncommon of an issue on the 10R80, and it's just a matter of no dealers can get you in right now for trans work.
Just sell it. It's a piece of junk. You don't need that thing anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
You've had an American vehicle for too long.
Yeah, it's fucking long. I can't handle it anymore.
Travis coming out hot.
Trav, you are just going to get along just fine this coming weekend.
Hey, you tell us your brother coming on here just immediately starts shitting on Adam. I'm like, what is going on in this podcast?
Amazing.
It's all worked great. But Sean, the big fire extinguisher's in your garage. Just make sure you grab it, all right?
All right, I'll bring that.
We'll bring it in the cap.
Brent, did you replace the fire extinguisher from the last trip?
Oh yes. In fact, I upgraded. I got the next larger size because it was like $2 more. So
Matt knows exactly where it's located. So
yes, we're prepared in case something else. As long as it's not an entire motorhome like happened at Talladega, I don't think the 16-ounce fire extinguisher is going to put out an entire motorhome fire. But
oh, there'll be plenty of camper fires this weekend.
That was the craziest shit. I know we told that story on this podcast before. But I hear Britt yelling, holy shit, it's on fire.
I'm just so glad I had to get up to pee. And it was about 3:30 in the morning that I got up for a leak and noticed that there was a motorhome on fire just across the way.
Yeah, burn quickly. Poison that tanker. Going to bring that thing in fast enough to put that bad boy out. You know, almost older. But what are you going
to
do?
So let's get to the important stuff. So I think on Thursday, I think the race, the ARCA and truck race starts at 7. I want to say 6 or 7.
6:30 or 7 o'clock. I think you're right, yeah. Adam.
So when are you thinking about leaving? What's your...
Obnoxiously early, because it's always going to take longer to drive down than we expect, and we're going to need to stock up on supplies when we arrive prior to getting into the campground, having a steak dinner, hopefully, and make it to the race. So, I mean, I was telling Matt and Travis and Sean they should just plan on crashing at my place Wednesday night, and we'll roll out of bed at 4 a.m. and fall in the truck and just hit it, because that would get us there at like 2, figuring 10 hours travel time plus an hour for, you know, raiding the local Walmart plus another hour to set up. I mean,
we do have to go to a Walmart because that's just entertainment.
So there's to get to where we need to enter from a campground perspective, you kind of have to go back Ashford's way to the track, but there is right on the border on off of 81, there's like Chain Store City.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff, including a Walmart, Bass Pro Shops, all your essentials.
Oh.
And
Noah would be proud.
Probably a good spot. It's probably a good spot to obtain anything you could ever imagine.
Right.
Prior to race. So probably a good meeting location. And then we can figure it out from there. So,
first, that works.
Okay. So my vote would be, I don't want to get up that early. My vote is we leave it like we leave at 6, we get there at 4, and I like just like leave my house at 5, Brent, and get to your house at like 5:30.
We could do that.
Because I don't want to sleep over at your house. I love you, but I want a good night's sleep.
Can you knock on my door on your way?
You're gonna have to bring Travis with you.
Maybe I'll just sleep with you that night.
That's fine.
There you go. Just have to sleep over somewhere else. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. But yeah, I'll come down in the morning too. I'm 20 minutes away. So
okay. Yeah, I guess. I think the biggest determining factor of all this, and I was thinking about this, and we need to, one of us needs to like sit down and figure out what we want to eat for those 4 days and put a list of stuff together, because otherwise we'll be wandering around a Tennessee Walmart for an hour and a half. And
that's not true. We're going to eat steaks, hamburgers, and hot dogs, and then something else another day.
That's true. Yeah, we'll have plenty of meat and plenty of beer, but we'll be lacking in other random things that we'll later find out we want to have.
I've recently discovered Pedialyte. You guys ever had that when you're like feeling like dog shit? That
stuff. Yeah, I got a freezer full of them.
Yeah, we're gonna bring some.
Fuck, bud. When were you born?
He's prepared. You did that at school? You never did any of that.
What?
I did not have Pedialyte in school. Not even close. Gatorade, but you know, I grew up. Yeah.
What's a reasonable expectation for how much food we're gonna eat? Like, how many meals we're gonna eat when we're at the track and we're just gonna buy food at the track?
That's what I was gonna say. Every single race, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's all night racing under the lights. So, you know, gates open, and you can begin to access the track, you know, at dinner time, basically. So to theoretically cook a meal prior to that, I mean, you know, especially on Saturday, you know, for the cup race, we've got those track walk tickets. That's from like 3 to 5.
Mm.
So like, are you going to walk back all the way back to the camper between 5 and being able to get into the track or do whatever? I mean, there's massive fan zone on the outside, and all kinds of shit. So
what about?
Honestly, I'm not too concerned about dinner. Like,
right.
So we're just talking breakfast and lunch.
Probably. That's probably a good. Yeah, that's a good.
I mean, we definitely need to cook steaks.
Like, once, yeah. Gotta be.
Yeah, like every day for lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Bam! This guy's got it.
Hey, you ain't gonna disappoint me. I mean, if we have leftover steaks, we'll cook them with the eggs in the morning. I don't care.
Yeah.
Brent, are you bringing a cast iron skillet?
So, all right, let's go over. I was mentioning to Adam and Matt before the call a list of random stuff I got to make sure that I prep for the camper. But I have a square cast iron skillet, like cast iron griddle. I have cast iron skillet. And I have a Dutch oven too. We got all the cast iron products that you could possibly want to cook.
The older, the better.
Yeah, that one was, I think, Megan's grandmother. So we're good on on the age of the cast iron. So yeah, I have at least the regular cast iron skillet, the Dutch oven cast iron, and I bought one of those flat griddles because trying to cook over one of those portable camp stoves with a cheap thin aluminum pan.
Oh, it doesn't.
You get like a 2.5-inch diameter center that is 700 degrees, and then the rest of it's cold.
Yeah.
So you got to have something that'll spread the heat out. But
so you have a camp stove and a flat cast iron griddle, then?
Yeah. So there's a stove in the camper.
So we could do pancakes, hash browns, and onions and eggs. We could do all that on there. That'll work.
Absolutely.
Hey, Sans, can we bug you for pork roll for at least one morning adventure?
I got pork roll in the basement. I can bring.
Travis has got pork roll.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got a pork roll cave.
Yeah, I was gonna bring anything Pennsylvania related that needs to be brought. So,
yep.
Scrapple.
I was thinking about that, and I was like, you know, I don't really know if anybody eats Scrapple, and it's not like I sit here and eat Scrapple all the time, but you know, if somebody wants to enjoy a piece. Well, fuck, I gotta get some then.
I would eat Scrapple with you boys.
Oh my goodness. Oh yeah, my goodness.
Nobody, from my perspective, should spare any expense when it comes to food. Whatever the total dollar amount is, I'm concerned the least about whatever it is.
Brent, your grill's smaller. Your kettle grill's smaller than mine. Do we want to bring that as well?
I was packing my charcoal grill.
Okay.
I've got the grill, I've got charcoal, the small generator so we can boost up the battery every other day, a big folding table, the canopy, the cornhole set because you got to have that, lots of paper plates so we don't have to do dishes other than pots and pans. I got to fill the one propane tank this weekend. I'm going to bring, we've got this like Rubbermaid container food tote, and I'm going to have coffee and creamer and salt and pepper, and I'll have, you know, ketchup and mustard and just odds and ends. I'll probably grab some snacks too, but
powdered creamer or liquid creamer?
Good question. I've got.
We're getting liquid creamer.
Yeah.
took me too long to answer that question. Yeah.
I've got both. I've got the powder as like it lives in there as a just in case I forget the real stuff.
What's the coffee situation? Like, how does the coffee get made?
Yeah. So tell me you don't have that damn press thing. Yeah.
I have one of those. You want it?
We have two options here for coffee. And it depends on the situation in the morning. So I have a regular 12 cup electric coffee pot in the camper, but unless the generator's running, you aren't running an electric coffee pot. So that is going to depend on what our neighbors are doing. I don't want to be the first a-hole to fire up the generator in the morning to make coffee.
Fucking generators you can start camping on Monday. Generators are fucking turning on Monday. They ain't turning off until Sunday. I can tell you.
I have spent my life pissing my neighbors off. I don't care.
Do you remember Talladega?
Oh yeah.
I had to sleep with the fucking earplugs in. So word to everybody. Comfortable earplugs.
I've got a baggie of good earplugs that are in that are already packed. So those are already in. But my plan was to, you know, we could fire the generator up and make coffee. If that's not working, we always have the probably 60-year-old percolator style stovetop that makes two cups at a time. Yeah, so coffee will be good on. We have multiple ways to make coffee. Some are far more efficient than others.
But, I have a 3,000 watt inverter. If you can connect that to one of your batteries.
Drain that bastard so fast.
3,000 watts. Yeah, that's a fucking lot.
Yeah,
watts.
I mean, it's so it'll work.
So, is the plan to buy stuff to stock the coolers once we get down there? I think the Walmart trip is for, or what?
I think so. I'll probably get a case of water and a case of beer, and fill the fridge. But I think the bulk of it we'll probably just get when we're there. We call the beverages can go in coolers. The fridge is, I can guarantee you, not going to be happy upon arrival. It's going to take overnight to cool back down. So we'll want to keep things that we're going to be getting at frequently in a cooler, and we can keep food in the fridge because it doesn't like to be opened repeatedly.
It won't stay cold off propane going down the road?
Not typically. I don't know if it's too much airflow or what. I've had pretty good luck with filling it and you know, I'll run it for 24 hours prior to leaving, and I'll take a couple big ice packs and stick them in the fridge for travel.
Yeah, pre-cool it, and then when we stop at Walmart, we can turn it on there, so at least it gives it a little time too.
I leave it. I don't even turn it off when I travel. I leave it on the whole time. The whole thing hasn't caught fire yet, so I guess that's cool.
There we go. We're fire talk.
Famous last word.
Sweating over here. I'm wearing my shirt and everything. Yeah.
I think go ahead, Adam.
I was going to say, it wouldn't be a NASCAR trip with the three of us if something didn't fucking catch on fire. So
that could be arranged. I love fire.
We'll work it out. I'm not concerned.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was just going to say, I since COVID have just started eating very small meals and then survive and then like so that I feel like an adult, but I actually just snack all day and that's actually what I survive on. So I'm gonna probably stock up on all the snacks that I like and want to get, and I'll get them locally here.
That's
go
fine.
Like yeah. do the Trader Joe's run. And just like pack a whole crap ton of snacks.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have, other than Adam driving separately, we're going to have a lot of time in an F-150 on the highway on the way down to write down exactly what it is we want to get when we get there at the Walmart. So we know what we're doing. That, you know, that won't be, probably won't be an issue.
Do we feel like we're not space limited at all on the way down, right? We got the whole bed of the truck.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be space limited. I mean, the truck's got the tonneau, so we can, you know, even things that you don't want to get wet can go back there.
What if we find a dirt bike while we're down there?
Yeah, I mean, we could probably make that work.
Have you been looking, Travis?
Excellent.
Yeah, I found one for Sean. It's 8 minutes away from the track.
Perfect.
It'll probably be where your head's at.
It'll probably be at the racetrack, to be honest.
This guy's good. Yeah, I mean, I put stuff in the camper for travel too. Like, I'll throw my duffel bag in, you know, inside. The cornhole set's going to probably be inside on the ground. The American flag cornhole set that my wife got me with the LED lights.
LED lights on the cornhole set?
She's lit up.
Do we need to bring, like, sleeping bags?
No. So the camper has all sheets, blankets, pillows, towels, soap. You need toothbrush, toothpaste, and deodorant, as far as sleeping stuff goes.
So I'm going to bring the tent too.
Okay.
All five of our asses aren't going to fit in there. So at least my, I'm speaking for myself. So if someone wants to sleep with me, they'll be more than happy to, but I'll bring the tent. I'm going to bring an air mattress just to take off the pavement. So
not a large camper for our listening audience. This thing folded up, I think if you don't include the tongue, I think this thing is 15 feet. Opened up, it's like 24, but it is a hybrid camper with two queen size beds and a fold down couch. So it's we're like Matt said, we're gonna be sticking five sweaty dudes in it.
We all slept in our own space when we went to Talladega, and I slept on the pull out couch thing, which I was too large for.
It's not great. It's not a great outfit.
They're perfectly.
What's that?
I fit there perfectly.
So Adam and I will be in the tent. Boys can be in the tent.
I don't mind sharing space with somebody as long as you wipe yourself off at the end of the night.
Clean yourself up a little bit.
Promises, unfortunately. But that sounds like a plan, and I think that'll work well. Just to give us a little more breathing room. If we don't use it either, we don't have to use it. It's actually Sean's tent, so, you know.
Oh. What a test run.
Cigarettes and glow sticks are included, so.
They also allow fire pits there, as long as it is off the ground. So I think a small fire pit, but I don't think anyone's really wanting to bring one.
You just turn. I mean, the grill is a fire pit. If you take the grate off, it's just a matter of bringing wood. So we can.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. If I got space, I'll throw some wood in. We'll make that call on the fly.
And but, that should cover our things catching on fire.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. In fact, the for a little bit of nostalgia, Adam and Matt, the awning on the camper still has a little bit of Talladega dust on it that I have intentionally not washed off. So.
What do you mean the Talladega dust? Like what?
So the camping area, Talladega, that field we were in, and all like the access roads, they had gravel on them, but it had like the orangish reddish clay base under it, and there was that dust, and the awning still got some of that on it from our Talladega adventures. But
forever with us, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Forever with us. Yep. So, but yeah, we should be as far as I mean, you know, we're boondocking without power, but I've spent way more time than is healthy, like confirming that this thing can go boondocking for great lengths of time without plugging in all LED lights. And
I've got a jump pack that will charge a cell phone 6,000 times,
right?
Maybe 50% dead,
right?
That's a good call. I was gonna say, I have my Milwaukee battery converter for a cell phone charger, but if you got that, Adam, I won't even bother with it. So
yeah, mine has, it's got two USB outputs and a 12 volt outlet. So I mean, it can charge it. Yeah, I think that's what I remember right from about it. It's like it's a lot of times that you can charge on it. It's got light on it. It's got all kinds of stuff. So
nice. Yeah, I had put the USB power panel in the camper before the Talladega trip. But I know we can go.
If you don't have to use your power batteries,
yeah,
I'd say that's probably better. I mean, you can essentially charge your cell phones without making any noise off the power pack.
Right.
Charge all of them at the same time.
Absolutely, that would be. That's right. That's right. Yeah, I know. I mean, I'll bring the generator along, but ultimately, we're really only going to absolutely need it maybe once, like Friday afternoon, because I know we can go a solid 36 hours without needing, you know, without the battery voltage dropping below 12 on the thing. You know, run the generator for an hour and it'll be set till we leave. So it's
yeah.
We're pretty well set. That roof fan is the saving grace from a comfort standpoint as far as ventilation. The weather's looking good. You know, we're going to be highs around 82 degrees in the day and down around 60 at night. Should be real good sleeping weather.
Who's got the beef jerky hookup?
Who's going to go to the roadside? Pass some jerk.
I think we pass a jerky place, one of those jerky outlets on 75 on the way out of here.
Perfect.
They might not be open at 6:30 in the morning.
Excuse me.
No, they're just a gas station.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the Michigan combo jobs, you know, gas station, jerky, liquor store.
Well, everything you need.
Essentials. Essentials.
Everything you need.
So, as far as seating goes, should I bring a camping chair for seating around the camper?
I'm bringing mine because it has a cooler built into it.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, bud.
So, got a sick one. Yep.
There are.
And you'll need something to sleep in. So, yeah, I would suggest bringing one.
That's true. Wait. Before you get too far, I did purchase 2 inflatable chairs that like somewhat lean back with footrests. So,
whoa.
One of those is calling your name, buddy.
Hell yeah.
Okay, I don't think you need any more. I think you need to bring a chair shot. So there's 4 in the, there. I got 4 that are in it. Okay.
And give it 10 minutes before you're sleeping in it.
Oh yeah.
So we'll just be short 1 chair. So between Travis's and the inflatables, we'll be set.
And then, I had to refrain. I had to refrain from buying the matching couch. And the rug and all the good stuff.
There's still time, Adam. There's still time.
Sure, there is. Don't fucking tell me.
Janice, you said your wife liked them though, right?
She did. She was like, "Oh, what are those for?" I'm like, "For the races."
they're not for you. They're not for you.
And then what about the contraption that you can hook to the bleachers and give yourself like a seat back?
Oh shit!
All traveling ones.
So Michigan stands weren't bad, because I was about to buy one, and there's rental ones, and they look terrible.
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
The Michigan stands actually weren't terrible, but I don't know what this track is like. But I think those cushions are cheap enough. Like you could buy one there in the event that you want one.
Yeah,
John. I have a cushion. I don't usually use it.
I was just gonna get on Amazon or something.
It's not a bad idea.
Buy something.
You could do that. I mean, you can. I can bring mine. And here, hold on.
Slowly, Slogano.
You can be a fanboy then.
Oh God, we don't need any.
I don't think you'll regret getting one.
No, I mean, like I only bought it because my dad peer pressured me into buying it when we went to Richmond a couple of years ago. So.
Oh, okay.
That's real nice.
Can you like how does it hook into the?
That's just a cushion.
It doesn't. This is just a cushion. It doesn't have a back.
Oh, see, I want a back.
Oh, you're fall out.
Because I can't fall asleep in the stands unless I have a back. And I need.
Well,
I need
you've
to get.
Never watch me. You've never.
I need to get
me.
Some I'll sleep.
Oh my God. Adam, about 14 beers deep for the day, will definitely pass out. No problem.
Probably pee myself a little too.
Yep, just for effect.
Relax. I'm really gonna piss. God, Adam. My God. Take a breath.
My goodness.
One of the better times in Michigan.
Yeah, they. That's a great question. They might. I'm sure there's. I mean, at a NASCAR race, if you can buy it, you can rent it. I imagine something like that would be available, but if you wish to possess your own,
Amazon.
Keep it.
Yeah,
definitely.
Amazon. I'm going to see what goodies my dad and grandma might still have from past races and see if they will mail it to me. That may or may not include headsets, scanners, seat cushions. That's probably it.
That's the essential
headset,
right?
Yeah, I was gonna say the headset and scanner would be the key piece of kit if you can get your hands on that. Since we're
so I bought a new headset because the other one I have is not starts to become uncomfortable after 3-4 hours. It works. There's really nothing wrong with it other than that. But when I bought my new headset, I also bought a Y cable so
yeah.
that someone else could, in theory, use it. And, you know, plug at least in. Two people have can plug in. And
that's all you need.
Yeah. And I, for me, I generally listen to the radio broadcast while the race is going on. It's pretty live when you're at the track. Like, there's really no delay. But you can quickly switch to another driver or whatever and listen to their radio.
Unedited. Yeah. And this place unedited, is going to be being the Coliseum, right? Being the seats all around, this place is going to be stupid loud. So
that's my only concern is just because of the effect of the stands. That's the problem with my other headset is it doesn't do a superb job of blocking out noise. It does okay blocking out noise. Like I don't get ringing issues in my ears after wearing it, but the sound of the cars, even on max volume, drowns out the noise when the cars are right in front of you at a large track. So at a small track where, you know, you hear the cars constantly, no matter what, I don't know how good or great it's going to be, honestly, but.
I plan on bringing earplugs and earmuffs in addition to the headset if my dad's got them.
Yeah.
I'll be either buying one or renting one. I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet, but renting, I think renting it, we paid $85, Brent, I think.
I think so.
And you got
rent, and that's all weekend. Yeah, that's all weekend, so.
You got two headsets with that?
Yep.
I think the one was, what was it, Brent? 85 for the rental, and then I think it was 40 for another headset or something.
Okay. I can't remember what I paid you for.
The only thing you got to be careful with that is I think they cut off the rental time period. You have to do it all online now. I don't think you can do it after before. Track anymore.
It's a week so before.
They,
so, we,
so they're going to cut it off on Saturday.
Yep. So we just got to be in the money before that. And Brent, so no deals coming out of your wedding you went to in there, Pittsburgh?
Oh yes, I was at my brother-in-law got married this past weekend, and one of his buddies actually works for Racing Electronics, and he's going to be there, but didn't get too much time to talk to him, but he did say. But he'd be in the infield pretty much the whole time. Not quite sure what he does for them. I think he spends most of his time just jumping between channels to make sure there's no audio quality issues.
It's an awesome job.
Yeah, it's interesting. But he travels from the beginning of the season to the end of the season so it's a interesting job.
You don't, in theory, need to have a headset. I mean, that's a totally optional thing. The center TV screen at Bristol is massive.
That's true.
And we are sitting in some pretty prime seats as far as the ability to see all in front of you without really moving your head, including the TV screen. Nice. So, I think at Bristol you could probably still have a good experience even if you didn't have play-by-play in your ear, you know. Because again, I don't know how well you're unless you have a quality headset. I don't know how well you're going to drown out car noise and overcome that with radio.
I didn't feel like I got that much out of wearing a headset personally when I was at MIS.
Yeah. I think
I'll probably I wasn't thinking about it, but I guess I should bring my ear. I have some ear protection I can bring.
Yep. Yeah, earplugs are easy, but if you've got a good set of earmuffs, yeah, it's
definitely better.
What row are we in, Adam?
So we're sitting pretty high. We are sitting in what they call the Earnhardt Terrace, which is a very upper section on the back stretch. And I think we're kind of sitting closer to the entrance of turn three than the exit of turn two. But yeah, I mean, like at a track like this and at most races, the higher you go, the more expensive they get. So if you look at the ticket prices, they really, aside from getting a suite or something like that, they really don't get as more expensive than what we bought.
Nice.
To be honest with you. So it's a good
suite.
Ticket,
suite will be in the docket 1 year, not this year.
And but. And do we have the same seats for all the races? Yeah. Okay.
So aside from the Thursday night, the ARCA series and the truck race, that's a general admission ticket. So there's only certain sections of the grandstands that are open, and it's a free for all. So okay. you just sit wherever you want that night, because it's a doubleheader. So the ARCA race is first, and then the truck race is like 30 minutes or an hour after that.
I'm very excited for both those races, to be honest.
Yeah,
trucks always put on a good show.
Trucks, the ARCA, they're just hodgepodge going out there. So
yeah, it's the younger series are kind of cool because it's a level of inexperience. Plays a factor in the excitement. And at a track like this where everybody gets their feelings hurt because there just isn't enough room for everybody to play nice, that's there'll be some butthurt people out there for sure.
Some dented fenders and some butthurt people.
Ty is he'd be running ARCA. I'm not sure if he's running. It's a cutoff race for in the series of everything, it'd be, well, I don't think ARCA has a playoff. I think they're just traditional points racing until the end of the year. Truck series would be a playoff race. The Xfinity series is a cutoff race for the it's the cutoff race for the regular season, and then it would be the third playoff race in the cups, you know, in the cup series.
Cutoff. Cutoff race.
And it's a cutoff for that round. Yep. Yeah.
Can you share screens here?
Yeah,
I think you should.
You guys have to tell me what he shares, because I've never been able to see a shared screen. Me and my high-end technology.
Can you listening audience?
Is it sharing?
Technical difficulty.
Yeah, I can see it, Trev.
Oh, so this is where this is six rows up from where we're sitting.
Okay. Yeah, so we're like five and six. And
yeah, because so I'm the row behind you guys. This is row 11.
Okay. So that's the exit of turn two, and then on your left, and then the entrance of turn three is all the way down on your right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
You should be able to. I mean, the infield's going to be packed with haulers, but you'll probably be able to see the cars yet. You're high enough for sure. Like, if you look straight across, you see that where the red row of seats start?
Yeah.
So we're in that same stuff, just the opposite side of the track.
Yep.
That's all high.
Yeah, we're with the we're in the non-riffraff seats.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be nice. So we won't get puked on.
I don't know. You
know say all
a
that.
Lot of people who like NASCAR have no problem spending their hard-earned doll hairs on a weekend of fun, just like five of us here. So
NASCAR fans are a different breed.
Yeah.
There's literally no other fan like a NASCAR fan.
No.
Thank you, Trav. It's unique. It's completely unique. And
no, like zero standards whatsoever.
Yeah. Everybody's pretty damn friendly. It's
They're all drunk.
Well, yes.
Friendly.
Generally there's alcohol involved in the equation, but for the most part, I mean nobody's concerned about anything, even standards.
No.
So,
no.
Not even a little bit.
No. That's what I tell people. I mean, my experience is embrace it, and you'll have a great time. There's really no other way to do it. Like, going to a race like this where you just show up like an hour before the race starts, you go watch the race and you go home. I don't think you get the whole, I don't think you give yourself the opportunity to enjoy it all, because it's fucking,
yeah,
it's going to be, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So
we're going to learn this place.
Like, are we going to make like, are we going to make friends with like all the campers around us at the campsite?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
There'll definitely be a level, there'll be a difference of people for sure, like on what people are willing to do and what are not, but those who are willing to make friends will identify themselves very easily.
Like, yeah. By the time we leave, like, I want there to be tears. The community is, like, breaking apart.
Yeah. So here you go. So here's my theory on NASCAR, and this is where this comes into play. My experience is that you should bring things you're willing to give up. Okay, so you should come prepared with things of value to people of that level that make their days better. So at a NASCAR race, that's generally going to be a cigarette, a lighter.
Lighter. How are you thinking?
The fourth thing I would say is charcoal. In a camping situation. So you meet somebody and they're, you know, I got a cigarette hanging out in their mouth, and they're like, "Oh, I need a light." "Oh, no problem, buddy. Got you right here." "You don't smoke, but who gives a fuck?"
throw an extra tank of propane in the back too.
God, yeah. Oh man.
It'll be $1,000 by the time Sunday comes around or Saturday night comes around. You know,
if we can make money while we're down there, it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Adam, so, you bringing a diecast collection or what?
I have. My best trade at a NASCAR race was half a case of beer. I received half a case of beer for about a quarter of a bag of charcoal.
Nice. Awesome.
I mean, it felt like a, pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Yeah, the beer. Pocono.
Okay.
Probably my uncle.
It's turn one infield, so I don't know.
He's sent pictures before. I don't know how we got him, but could have been.
No, I'm sure we're gonna meet all kinds of people, and I don't think that people are usually willing to talk. And if you let them talk, they'll tell you their life story.
Over, dude, talk about breaking his back, falling off the rig. Remember that one?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you get people like we were at Talladega, Sean. We were. I think it was probably after the Xfinity race, which would have been Saturday. We were walking around the camping area, and these two campers had set up this like massive cornhole setup. They had about four or five sets, and they had made a cart that had a little quiet Honda generator on it, and like a flagpole, and one of those giant lights you'll see at a highway construction zone at night, and they had this set up in the middle of this whole thing so they could light all these, this series of courses. Like these people were like fixing to have people come over, like, so you see people like set up stuff like that, like they're like, yeah, they're getting like they're wanting people to walk up and be like, "Hey, what are you doing?" So
okay,
there'll be things like that where people will start to congregate, and yeah, you'll like, if you just want to go do that, you just go and do that. Like, no one's gonna fucking stop you.
And a pair of binoculars too. They were blown away by a pair of binoculars.
Rednecks love binoculars. So
yeah. How much you pay for those? $90. Whoa! That was...
Oh my god! I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Travis, is this Yankee country? We're gonna be called Yankees down there.
What? No. Do you not know how that works?
Are they going to call us Yankees? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yes. We are all Yankees.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Compared
to
anyone, above the Mason-Dixon line is a Yankee.
Yeah, okay. So we're
Sean's the only one who might be flirting with that. I don't know where it crosses Virginia.
It doesn't. Virginia's in the South.
Yeah, yeah, so Mason-Dixon, so you're not a Yankee.
There you go.
Yeah.
Are we gonna have left is right podcast t-shirts? Did that?
That's on Matt's plate. So if you want to put them on the spot, you'd be my guest.
Well, we have a lot of wardrobe. That, we have a lot of wardrobe changes coming.
I want to talk about wardrobes in general because I feel like I know Adam has things in store, and you know, but we could all create our own outfits as well. But I just didn't know if there was some representation for the podcast that was going to happen.
So yeah, we did invest in banners. We have three of these. They're 3x5 feet.
The camper.
Oh yeah.
I think Brent's gonna bring his. His is set up in a way that can be attached to like a flagpole type of situation.
Good thing I don't have a flagpole.
Oh, what the fuck, dude?
let me get on that.
I'll bring my banner just in case you screw it up.
Let me get on that.
You probably should.
You guys got a broom handle? We can make that work too.
I'm not going to give away. For each and every person on this phone call, I have prepared, at the very least, a shirt that you can wear.
Okay.
In some of your cases, it's more than a shirt. And in some of your cases, well, in one person's case, they don't really need to bring shirts because there's enough for every day. There's only one person like that. So the bastard on eBay made me buy all of them. I couldn't just buy one. So. This guy from Wisconsin.
eBay's fault.
So
I am working on t-shirts for the gentleman. I got the design all up and the hardware, so we just got to print them out and iron them on. So we'll at least have
sure
that.
Make sure you make mine a large.
Brent, you said you do not have a flagpole mount or a flagpole.
I don't have a flagpole or a flagpole mount. I was just thinking that maybe we could use a dune flag for a dirt bike as a flagpole. I think I have a dune flag here. I have to go look in the garage.
Mine are missing.
Yeah, they those things have migrated around. We can make something work.
Do you have like stickers to pass out or anything like that?
So we don't, but I've got my eye on some to be printed. On the cheap. And then they're little couple inch round stickers that basically the logo fits on. So I was gonna take those and fucking plaster them all over the track when we got
just start sticking them on shit.
We're going for TV time too with one of these outfits. So
if the people of Bristol listen to this at some point in time, just come find me. Sean, everybody else has, like I said, at least a t-shirt. Yours is a button down short sleeve.
Classic.
It's classy. Nice. I think I've shared it with Matt and Bryn.
Yes. Beautiful. Okay,
so. I can't wait. That, now that you said that, I feel like I gotta bring my Tire Masters shirt as one of my shirts to wear.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds like a
Tire
good
Tire Masters. Yep.
Yeah.
That would be good. Anything automotive culture, definitely welcome. Travis, you might be able to work at Menards after you get back.
That's fine. I have a box full of old shirts that I hide so my wife can't throw them out on me. And I look through them to see if I had any of my NASCAR shirts from years ago, but I don't know if they're at my parents' house either.
I am also bringing my personal NASCAR wardrobe, which is more stash than the days that we have that we're gonna be there. So,
yeah, it's a problem. Shit, I'm in the same boat.
I think I need to buy like a hat though, because I'll need a hat for the race. So I'm going to go. I'll do some shopping before the trip and see what I can come up with.
Do you want a motorcraft? Do you want a good wrench racing?
Motorcraft would be good.
All right. We'll see if I can bring to find that one. I got it somewhere.
I think I have a Summit Racing hat that sent me for free.
Oh, dude.
When I bought free hats and parts.
There will parts definitely to buy for a hat. Be opportunities to buy anything. We are the fan hospitality area and everybody selling their merchandise is like between our campsite and the track.
Okay.
So we don't have to go far for any kind of stuff like that if you're interested, which I probably will. I'm sure.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
It's been a look.
Rick, anything you could imagine. We could have bought a whole new camper last time we went. There was a whole bloody RV show.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome.
It was cool.
And an 80-foot fifth wheel, you know.
Yeah. Rolling around.
But yeah, I'm that's the wardrobe situation. What I've prepared. So like I said, each and every one of you, even including you, Matt. So
yeah, I don't know what you're buying me stuff for. Ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
You bought me a t-shirt however long ago. You showed up in my house with a t-shirt.
Melon Man, bud.
I didn't want to leave you hanging. I don't like to discriminate. I got a lot riding on this weekend, you know? We got everybody freaking all pumped up and filled up with piss and vinegar that this is going to be the greatest thing. So, like, I gotta deliver, you know?
He's got to follow through.
Adam's going to put on the show for us, so I'm glad. Glad you're taking the steps, buddy.
That's great.
What everybody has to, like, for me anyway, like, I generally get too damn excited when I get there and drink too much instantly. Really happens around you guys in general, so.
Me and you and, well, shit, we're all bad, really bad. Only one that's going to be good is Sean, so.
Yeah.
He'll behave himself.
But no. I will not reel you guys in.
Just let him go.
Well, only thing I ask if the credit card comes out for some shit, just dial it back. But I do have to buy a house, so it can't be.
Maybe Matt, then you should just bring a sum of cash that you are comfortable with.
That's a smart call.
Just pretend you're going to a casino.
Yeah, and you're comfortable with coming home with none of that money left over. Like you're comfortable with it just leaving, and you'll never see it again.
So like a bachelor party. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. So this is one place. So when we went to Talladega, the camping area selection was purely based upon how much you wanted to party. That's how they described their camping areas. It was, do you want no quiet time? Do you want 2 hours of quiet time? Do you want 8 hours of quiet time? And you know what I mean? So we opted.
Yes.
We were in basically. So when we were there, I opted for an area where there were technically no quiet time rules, which means you can party all the time. You can have loud music, whatever the case may be. But the area in which we were camping didn't end up being totally full. Like we only had one camper on one side of us. The rest of the areas were open. But just because it's so massive there, the facility is just huge. Like even in a packed house, like there's open space. This is totally different. And you could not select camping based on the rules package at the time. I even asked the guy, I'm like, so what's the situation with the rules? And he was like, well, rules are the same everywhere. And I'm like, okay, well, that's weird.
But you answered my question, good sir.
Yeah.
So really, it's anyone's guess what kind of area we're going to be in. Just look at the draw.
No, so we have a reserved spot in basically a parking lot off of, because this facility also has a drag strip. So we're kind of like off the side of the drag strip in a reserved spot. But okay. I think the quiet time hours are technically from like midnight to 7 a.m.
Okay.
But because we're in a non-hookup area, you are permitted to run your generator through the night.
Okay. But so, you expect it to be packed? You don't expect there to be open spaces around us?
I really don't. I expect the camping to probably be pretty full. But so I would not go with the sense of that, like, the neighboring campsite would be empty.
Okay.
I mean, I know there's still tickets available, like, for grandstand seats and stuff, so... But I expect the camping to be pretty full. I don't think
just based on what we've seen over the past couple of weeks, the places have been packed. Everywhere has been packed. So
I was gonna ask you about attendance, like race attendance in general this year. You know, if it's gone up.
Yeah, it's been pretty. It's gotten better as the year has gone on. Obviously, the track attendance capacities have gone from limited to full capacity allowed as things have changed in that department. But in the NASCAR season, we've now entered the playoffs. You know, there's like three or four what I would call crown jewel races throughout the length of the season, obviously the Daytona 500 being one of them. The Coke 600 on July 4th weekend being another, last weekend at the Southern 500 at Darlington, and then what they call the Bristol Night Race is all the NASCAR culture under the lights when everybody, you know, all the crazies come out when the lights come on.
Bristol's always been a big deal over the years.
Yeah, it definitely is. I this is where you're going to see all kinds of action, both from the
fans. This isn't a Michigan race, John. By any chance. So
okay,
no, not at all. Yeah,
this is where people have thrown helmets. Drivers have thrown helmets at other drivers.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't this the one where most of that type of action happens? I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah,
Clint Boyer chased Jeff Gordon down, trying to beat him up here.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Tony Stewart walked up on the track and threw his helmet at another car after he got.
Does he still drive? Is he still race?
No.
He's just an owner now?
He's a team owner. Okay. Yeah.
He's got his own racing series, too.
I feel like if I liked anybody nowadays, it would be him.
That's all
look
right,
up this kid, this Xfinity driver, Travi. His name is Miller Graxon. Look him up. You'll like him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Likes to fight people. Yep, got
the Bass Pro Shop sponsor. When his first race of the season was it last weekend?
Yep.
Last weekend. He has a nice mullet.
He does. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He's definitely a character, and he doesn't shy away from excitement. At Mid-Ohio earlier this year, he got wrecked out like right away. So, you know, the job of the pit lane reporter is to approach the driver before they've had ability to think about anything. You know, in that situation. So the pit road reporter rushes up to him. He gets out of the car. He takes his helmet off. They're talking about it, and he's pissed because he just wrecked his day, right? So he's talking about how I hate it for my sponsors. He goes through the fucking list of all the places he sponsors. So he's like, she's like, what are you going to do now? He's like, well, I guess I'm going to go back to the hauler, and I'm going to go over to the fan area, sign some autographs, and drink some White Claws.
Yeah, I think I literally think that he went off and tore the splitter off that car. I think it may have been turn one in the first lap.
Yeah,
it was immediately that. Well, Sean, Travis, you guys have been to Mid-Ohio. Turn one is the long sweeping left hander after you go underneath the bridge that goes to the infield. And he ran wide into the grass, tore the splitter off the car.
He's a character. He drives. He drives for Dale Jr.
Okay.
Jr. And this week he wins, and then he says how he's got a plane ride to Vegas for a bachelor party. So he actually may not be with us. We're not sure yet, but
he might not make it.
He may not have made it past this past weekend, but we'll see.
He's a character. He is. He definitely plays that role. For sure, and plays it well.
Plays
he's got
it
good
well,
backing. So. He's got good money. He's got good money behind him, so he's not fucking going anywhere.
He signed next year, too.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All right, so we talked about travel, talked about food, talked about outfits, talked about repping the podcast. What else do we need to plan?
Facial hair.
Oh yeah.
I was thinking about shaving my beard into sideburns, you know, just.
I might do just a mustache.
I like that.
Travis, the stash would be good.
Yeah, Trav, I think we could both do handlebars.
Okay. I think
we could pull that off.
Okay.
I haven't decided
yet. You want to shave each other?
Oh, we can do that.
Yep. On this episode of Clusters, right? Travis and Tron shave.
I think that might be the title. Do you want to shave each other?
Is this podcast gonna make the transition to YouTube? I mean, that could be the first YouTube video for the podcast.
We have a channel.
Yeah, we have a channel. We just haven't done anything with it.
Okay.
But facial hair is a good thing to think about. If I personally was going to do anything, it would be a mustache. And I mean, you guys know me; it'll look pretty dirty in about a week, which would be perfect.
Should we do it when we get there or before we get there?
I mean, I guess that depends if you want someone to do it for you or not.
Yeah, do you want to be sober when you do it or not?
Well, you get.
I don't know. Let's think on it.
Do it before you leave, or will it just be better if you leave? You do your thing and you come back. And
yeah, you should like not tell the wives what you're going to do and just come back looking different.
Okay. We'll do that then.
Interesting thought.
I'm going to go with a mohawk, guys. So we'll see how that plays out.
Wow.
Like,
that should be interesting.
An inverse mohawk?
What are you talking about? It should be fine. What are you talking about?
I think Matt and Adam should both rock a dirty stash, though, as much as you can.
I got one brewing, boys.
I've been clean shaven for myself recently, but I'll let her go.
I'm working on it as we speak.
I see it coming in. I see it, Matt.
Yeah.
It's already coming in. Yeah, there you go.
We'll grab some mascara.
I got some of that ginger, you know. Something red.
Yeah.
Get the Irish.
So is that what you guys decided? You're going to leave by 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
I think Brink got vetoed.
I think you have the same driving time, right, Adam?
It's about the same. So that's why I'm saying whatever you guys, all, Brink, I can pinpoint that area that I was talking about with the Walmart and... we can just plan to meet there.
Yeah, but really leave at 6. Like I would plan on getting to Brent's at 5:30 so that we can load up and
take your time, take a shit before you get on the road and all that stuff.
Yeah, I will do that. I'll do that at your house, Brent. I'll sleep there. But,
blow up the toilet.
What a guy. Yeah. What's so Brent, I mean I have my own personal camper etiquette, especially when my name's not on the title. So what are the rules of bathroom use in your camper?
Well, I mean, yeah, with that many people in there, we're definitely going to not want to do the number two in the camper bathroom. We're only going to have 30 gallons of fresh water for washing dishes and flushing the toilet for 4 days. I will probably... I think we're pretty close to the shower house, so I'll probably just use that during the day. You know, obviously, middle of the night leaks, I'll just be using the bathroom in the camper, but yeah.
The shower house could very well be 53-foot trailers converted to showers. Mm-hmm.
I expect it to be.
So don't expect the freaking Taj Mahal.
You guys have seen Ash before, right? It's kind of like that.
Been to Michigan State Park. Is there an expectation that we're going to shower? I wasn't really planning on showering the whole weekend.
No. But I would expect to leave a track like this after a race and to be covered in rubber.
Okay.
Maybe a wipe down, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All
right.
You may want to consider wiping yourself off, but that's a personal choice, you know?
Yeah.
I had rubber on me from Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan was a blast, man. That was a great race.
I mean, I don't know how bad it's going to be. I mean, Crystal is a concrete surface now. It's no longer a blacktop surface. So tire wear is definitely not as bad. But there's a lot of racing. So, I mean, did very well. And I don't know how being that high up, but we'll see.
This might be getting ahead of it. Where's the next track?
Love the enthusiasm.
Where are we going after this?
Oh, Lord, we haven't talked about that.
Where do you want to go, Trev?
Yeah.
Well, Charlotte. I'll let you guys say, and then I'll voice my opinion.
Charlotte. Darlington. Martinsville. There's three for me. I want to go to the 500, but that's
for me, the answer depends upon what kind of track you want to go to. Right. So I have a track for each layout, whether it's short track, intermediate, or super speedway at this point.
Sure.
So, you know, short track, it would probably be Martinsville. Intermediate, definitely Charlotte. And that not so much about the track, but more so about being in the presence of the entire NASCAR community.
If you want the environment, Charlotte is the place to go to.
Yeah.
That would be my recommendation.
Yeah, I think I'd make a vote for Charlotte too.
The 500 is definitely on my
bucket. It's all there.
Yeah, right. I mean, if I went to Charlotte, I would want to go pretty much the entire week prior. Or some sort of overlapping of the weekend where there's at minimum 5 days, because I'd want to go to the various shops that you can get to as a human and go see all that stuff, drive by DEI.
If you did a Thursday to a Monday, that would work well. You'd have plenty enough time to do most everything.
Right. I don't even know if I would camp, honestly. I feel like I'd be inclined to rent something, whether it was a room or
I'm pretty sure I've stayed at a hotel there, but it may have been a dorm room. I don't remember.
And
we need a tour guide there, Trav, you know.
If I was going to Charlotte, it would definitely be for the Coke 600.
Oh, God.
It would definitely be for the main race.
Race as well, right?
Yeah. That would be Memorial Day week. Or no, it's July 4th weekend, right? No.
I think so. It's Memorial Day or it's 4th of July. Because there's the one race before that, the weekend before.
Yeah.
The All-Star race. That's it.
Well, so the All-Star race moved. They're moving the All-Star race around. Yeah, this year it was in Texas. They're experimenting with different ideas. Yeah. So, but yeah. Oh, trust me, I would go to any race or any track at this point. A couple years ago, Matt and I had this conversation of like, hey, let's just start going to try to get to a race a year. And that started with going to Talladega. And then obviously that shit got derailed for the last year and a half.
So in Concord, there's multiple hotels that are closest to the track. So,
which will probably be busy. I'm not super concerned about being at the track just because there's so much more going on in the greater Charlotte area.
I can say that it's a party between parking and getting to the track. The entire walk is a party.
Yeah.
At least awesome. It was 10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, you have to remember you're in the community's backyard. I mean, that's their playground.
Yep.
Everybody that's there is affiliated with a team in some way, shape, or form, whether it's their brother, their cousin, their mom, their dad.
Their entire right. family. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's, where would you go, Trev?
Charlotte.
Let's go back.
We did good.
I'd go back.
I want to see the Glen too. If we do a road course swing, I'd like to see the Glen. The Glen looks wild.
They say that the Glen is the when NASCAR's there is the Talladega of the North.
Oh baby,
that's what they say. That's what they say. So
I love it.
I'm up for a party.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well,
all right.
What did we say?
The shiny side up and the river side down.
That's right. Keep that shiny side up and the river side down. We're going racing at Richmond this weekend. Hopefully no one catches the catch fence. And thank you all listeners for listening to us banter about prepping for a race. If you can't tell, we are excited and we will be doing live broadcast from Bristol. So
sweet.
Thanks again. And follow us on all social medias. Thanks for Adam for everything he does for us. And we'll talk to you all real soon.
Travis and Sean, thanks, guys, for getting on and doing this with us.
Thank our guests. My God. Sorry, gentlemen. Yes.
We're terrible hosts. Terrible hosts.
Matt's a terrible host.
Always a pleasure.
All right. We'll see you.